Reese on the radio, making sense of the news. Yeah, even when it makes no sense at all. Now on WTIC News Talk 1080.
We'll get to your phone calls in a second, but let's do some headlines. Connecticut teachers' advocates can't or won't say the obvious. The teachers suck at their jobs. This is a problem inside the schools. And the fact that these advocates won't acknowledge what's really the problem is why the kids are going to continue to fail. Despite improving statewide test scores, Connecticut education advocates say that declining national proficiency rates reflect persistent issues among students in the state as well. In another sign that students have yet to recover from the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic, because these people aren't good at their jobs, it's only been 4 or 5 years, they cannot seem to figure it out yet. Federal testing data released this month shows that high school students across the United States have lost ground in math and reading. The latest results from the National Assessment of Education Progress, also known as the nation's report card. Slow math and reading scores among 12th graders and science scores among 8th graders dropped to historic lows in 2024. And if you were listening to the show yesterday, I think I tried to explain to you what part of that problem is.
A very different message is being sent to young people across the country. 3 weeks ago, the journal Education Next released a national survey of high school students asking what messages they have heard from teachers over the last 4 years. Stunningly, 70% of high school students report that their teachers say that, quote, America is a fundamentally racist nation, end quote. With nearly 40% of students say they hear that message often or almost daily. What happens to a nation when its schools express to its students such disdain and selective memory of its own country? My colleague, Catherine Berbelsing, who runs the Michaela Community School, sums it up well when she says, the West won't fall in Parliament. It will fall in the classroom.
100% right. The anti-ICE gunman, Joshua John, carefully plotted his assault on immigration officers before taking up a sniper position in a Dallas rooftop and expressed his desire to instill terror in agents. New information released by the FBI reveals a handwritten note recovered by investigators that said, quote, hopefully this will give ICE agents real terror. To think, is there a sniper with AP rounds on the roof? John, who opened fire at a van near the entrance of an ICE field office in Dallas on Wednesday morning, had conducted multiple searches of the words, quote, Charlie Kirk shot video between September 23rd and the 24th, just before the shooting. FBI Director Cash Patel said on X today, in spite of that, yeah, that's what he said. He revealed that he said he found those searches on there. Okay, in spite of that, I forgot that there was a period there. Chris Murphy, he was on Morning Joke and said this.
How important is it for leaders, especially at the very, very top of the government, to set the tone?
Listen, it should not matter whether the radicalization comes from the right or the left or, you know, sort of the non-ideological deep dark recesses of the internet. This president, this vice president, has had a chance now since the assassination of Charlie Kirk to bring the country together to try to stamp out all sorts of violence, including political violence, and they refuse to do that. What they are trying to do is exploit these murders and these shootings in order to silence only dissent and political opposition on the left. No, criticizing the way that ICE is rounding up people in this country in a deeply inhumane and immoral way is not an incitement to violence. There is a moment where you cross the line, but what they are trying to do is to destroy the ability for people who oppose their policies to legitimately engage in political debate, and we are not going to let them do that.
More on Chris Murphy in a moment. Stand by, we'll get to that. All right, folks, everybody, say it with me in unison. Mayor Mamdani. We got to get used to it. It's happening. Just say, come on. Mayor Mamdani of New York City. That's right. He's going to be the new mayor. According to new polling, Democratic mayor nominee Zohra Mamdani holds a dominant 20-point lead in the race for New York City, bolstered by a majority support from Black, Latino, and Asian voters. According to this new poll released on Tuesday, Mamdani leads independent candidate former Governor Andrew Cuomo from 45 to 25% among likely voters. Republican nominee comes in third, Curtis Sliwa, followed by the incumbent, Mayor Eric Adams, with only 8%, according to a Suffolk University City View poll. So just say it with me. Come on. Mayor Mamdani. And we should all get used to it. It's okay. It's okay. He may not screw it up that bad. There's always hope that he will. I'm just saying. Now, for the stupidest thing I read today.
This could very well be the stupidest person on the face of the earth.
Dumb. According to a new poll, a majority of Americans believe that democracy isn't working. Why is this the stupidest thing I've read today? It's in the poll. Pessimists appear to outnumber optimists these days, with the new poll showing that Americans believe democracy is not working, among several other jarring findings. The new Quinnipiac poll released on Tuesday found that 53% of citizens believe that American democracy is not working right now, compared to 41% of Americans who believe the system's going fine. Those on the left, unsurprisingly, were more likely to say that the figurative house is burning down, with 74% of polled Democrats saying that the system of democracy in the United States is not working. Perhaps it would be a shock to these bozos if they knew we weren't a democracy. Perhaps it's not working because your optics are wrong. I saw this video the other day where this young black man was talking to two black women, and he says to them, do you believe America is a democracy and it's at risk? And both women, like trained parrots, said, yes, I believe that it is. I absolutely believe that it is. And then he says, so you believe we live in a democracy? And they were like, yes, of course, this is a democracy. And they were absolutely so self-assured. Of course it is. And so he said, can you guys do an exercise with me? And they were like, yeah. Just like, do you know the Pledge of Allegiance? Sadly, one woman did not. But the other woman knew it immediately. And he started saying, okay, say it with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. And then he stops and she goes, oh, oh, oh. And the other woman said, oh yeah, that's right. He goes, so, what, are we a democracy? Oh, she was like, oh, why did I think that? Yeah. Why did you think that? I wonder. See, I only use that, my rationale for pointing that video out and why it's so important is that there are a lot of people who just repeat what they hear. And it's just said to them over and over again, threat to our democracy, threat to our democracy, threat to our democracy. Okay, I'm on that side, and they say it's a threat to democracy, so I'll say it when I'm asked. Is Donald Trump a threat to democracy? Well, yes, because I'm a Democrat, and yes, a threat to democracy is a threat against Democrats, and I'll repeat it. And then you get these people in these very odd moments where they start realizing, and it's almost like, it's like, seriously, it's like they've been woken up out of a trance. It was amazing to watch. It was like the woman was just like, oh. It was like, blink of an eye, like you're watching a movie when they finally come out of the zombie state. Oh, what happened? Where was I? You were with the Democrat Party. We freed you. You were kidnapped by democracy. We freed you. How long was I out? 4 years. 4 long years. We got you. Here, eat this red M&M. Let's go to the phones. 860-522-WTIC. What's up, Mark?
Hey, so as soon as I heard Chris Murphy, you know what I'm calling about.
But yeah.
What I want to tell people is, what I'm going to explain, I hope you go on Mark from West Hartford on Twitter, is I've been asking the Connecticut Republican Party, I actually asked Matt Corey a little while ago, about 5-6 weeks ago, to do what I did today. Mm. Since their messaging is off, you know, I'm there like, why not use the Connecticut Democrat messaging against them? So I went into Hartford, and I've told you before, Chris Murphy not only has an office at the Colt Building, which used to make guns, people, that's where he decided, the one building in Connecticut, that's where his home office is. You can't make it up. You cannot make that up. He also has a residence within hundreds of yards of that office. So I went within probably 1,000 yards at first, and then I was right around the corner, right down the street from his residence.
Right.
And what I did is I asked these people if they've seen him. He refers to the residents in Hartford all the time as his community and his neighborhood when he needs to push, of course, his narrative agenda, whatever he's doing for the day. These people have never seen him. Actually, I had a couple of them tell me he's never in his office. A couple of them said they used to go to his office. They stopped going because he's not even there.
Yeah,
anybody there to take a message. But you know how he walks through Connecticut? So I got a couple of them, and I let them know. Some of them weren't aware of it. Like, where's he walking? I said, well, he's not walking here. Well,
he never does. He doesn't. But again, look, he doesn't care about Hartford like that. Those constituents, he couldn't have a conversation with them if he tried. And to be quite honest with you, I think he's scared to death of them. That's what I think. I think he's afraid of any community that would live in Hartford. That's way. Have you ever listened to him talk? He couldn't have a regular conversation with those folks. He'd be embarrassed.
Well, they would call him out. I think it's more he'd be afraid. You're right. He'd be more afraid than embarrassed because just as you saw the way they spoke to, and I could have taken, I could have spent hours there. The next one I want to do, that was the people out in the street and in the community. I want to go to the store, the business owners who have been suffering with high taxes and crime and everything else. Should have an interest in his neighborhood.
I got to say this, though, Mark. After watching those videos, right? Now, this is the most astonishing part about this. But then again, you're a Hartford guy. You're a West Hartford guy, but you're a Hartford guy in the sense of this in the community. You are a short Italian guy in the heart of the city, talking to African Americans or blacks, whatever they're called this month, in that community, and catching them on camera to ask them about their public officials. And they were so eager to talk to you and tell you what they thought about him, his non-existence in their community. You felt no threat. You just walked up to him plain as day and just started filming them talking to him, and they were so eager to talk to you, which is, again, what I keep trying to tell to the Republican Party. If you gave them half a shot, my friend, if they gave them half the shot that you did in those videos, they'd be surprised at what they'd come back with. Surprised.
You're welcome to come with me.
I know.
No, they know me. They know my number. I've reached out to them. They don't want to know. My next thing is your idea. I'm going to steal your idea, and I'm going to go now with, I've got genderqueer in my house. I ordered it because my intent is now to go over there. I'm going to highlight a couple pages, ask some mothers and fathers to open it up. And I guarantee you, most people don't even know about the book, and they don't realize, they don't know who Bob Duff is, and they don't know the push on getting it in their school in Hartford.
And that video, let me tell you something.
I can't wait to get their reaction.
Exactly.
And not only that, I just want to point out one of them, and he was larger. If any of you guys go look at the video, he was larger and spoke. And he said it would be fair enough. You know, he's the guy that said, yeah, it would be fair enough if he came around here, too. Just don't go where the rich people are. And
exactly.
He goes to me at the end of it. He goes, now listen, because he realized I was interviewing, there was mostly blacks there.
Yeah.
Except there was one of his friends was right coming up the side. He goes, come here. He goes, you got it. You're going to think it's all just blacks here. He goes, I bet you this white dude don't know he lives up the round the corner either. So, sure enough, I got that guy. He's one of the last videos. But it was funny that he even knew. Here was a guy who knew the optics of like.
Exactly.
Hey, I want to help you out. Now, he's helping me out by just him pointing out. It sounds funny, and it is funny, but it also was a message.
Yeah, it's, but that's, like, listen. But that's my point. That's my point here. And it's like, look, and that was the reason why I even expressed that idea. Because what you just did was exactly what I said it would be. When you go out there and you talk to them, you'll find out that there is no, you'll find out that they are more involved and also recognize the fact that they have been shut out of that conversation. And seeing you do it should tell everybody from Fishbein to Fazio to all of them. We got to get our, we got to get our butts.
Candelora's got to stop. Candelora, just all he ever does is hide out inside that Capitol and give sound bites.
It's,
come out. You were in Hartford.
Exactly.
Where I
and
stood was 10 minutes. It's a 10-minute ride.
Oh, I know exactly where you are. And I barely even know downtown that well. But that's the point I'm making, is that it's unfortunate that in a lot of ways you kind of have to do it first. I always call it like the Master P effect, right? Nobody wanted to sign Master P to a record label. He had to sell them in his trunk before the record labels came a-calling. That's the way the Republicans are going to work. And when they see you do it, they'll go, oh, that works? And then they'll double back and actually, but you know what? Listen, better late than never, because the importance is get out there and do it now. We've proven that it works.
Just do it. Let them know. And let me tell you, they did mention a couple of other politicians that they were familiar, and these people didn't do much for them, but guess what they did do? They showed up. And
that's
they remember
right.
that. Even if you show up once, they remember you showed up.
Exactly right. Thank you, Mark, as always, sir. Great videos, by the way. Check them out, guys. Mark and Wes Hartford on X. Thanks, man. Let me just make this point about Chris Murphy before I get out of here. And I'm only going to be careful because I know that some people who listen to this will say, he said, listen very closely. Because to be honest with you, I am flying towards the sun on this one. But I want you to think about this. And it should be recognized. I already asked the question, why is Chris Murphy going above and beyond to make a spectacle of himself when it comes to Donald Trump? Why is it? Doesn't matter what it is. He is constantly Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. When the violence is going on and people are shot and killed, he's now saying, oh, he's just trying to silence us. He's just trying to silence us. Why is he going in the opposite direction? Why is he saying that Donald Trump is using the political assassination of Charlie Kirk to shut people up? Why is he doing it? It doesn't make sense. Now, a lot of people, you all are out there been saying, well, he wants to run for president. Yes, that may be true. But there is something else, and it is very dark, and it is very ugly. And it's got to be addressed. Chris Murphy is trying to incite his own, let's say, physical situation. That's all it's about. He is trying to, because that's, think about what he is saying. Donald Trump is using this murder to silence others. What would give Chris Murphy the biggest profile ever? What would shoot him to the stratosphere? What would? Somebody coming after him? Somebody doing what's already happening to everyone? Why would you incite this kind of thing? Why would you not be keeping the temperature down? Why would you? And again, he is one of the only people who is openly expressed the fact that he refuses to let up. Knowing that everybody in the country is saying, tone it down. He's like, nope, he's trying to shut us up. Because he's hoping that somebody on the right gets beside themselves. That's it. Imagine his profile. He's sitting at 1%. He's everywhere, folks, everywhere. No matter where you look, polling at 1%, but some odd reason, $10 million in his coffers. Seems to fundraise quite well. Why is he all over the country on these tours? Why? He's everywhere but where he should be. Why is he all over the country? We'll take a break. We'll be back. More news, more views. It's Reese on the Radio.
Hey, did you hear? It's our birthday, 100 years. Did you happen to get us a present?
Nope. But anyway, Reese on the radio on WTIC. In about 4:05, we're going to have Wendy from Newtown calling in. She's going to talk about her altercation a couple of years back when she was assaulted in Newtown. And it was related to the Newtown Allies for Change story we've been talking about a little bit this week. And Wendy's going to come on and tell her story about her relationship with this group. And it's harrowing and quite scary if you think about it, with what she dealt with in this altercation, where it happened, and what transpired thereafter. And there's so much more on this story that we'll be talking about it for quite some time. All right, so stand by for that. Also, we'll get to your phone calls in a second. In this hour or this half hour, we'll talk about how everything isn't politics, but you have to ask yourself, why does it feel like it is? I'll explain when we get the opportunity. But let me get to some phones. 860-522-WTIC. Hello, Ralph.
Good afternoon. I have a couple things. First of all, Chris Murphy has got the brain of a gnat, a very small gnat. He's nothing but a political hack. Well, I'm not exactly sure what his ambitions are, but to be a good human being certainly isn't one of them.
No, I think, and I really do believe this, is that he is trying to raise his profile by any means necessary, and I think he is trying to get some radical person on the right to put him in a position where he can say, see, it's because of Donald Trump. He sees that I'm a threat, and that will bolster his notoriety and his fame.
But he may get some real nutcase on right that's going to put him.
I hope he doesn't. I hope he doesn't, but I don't put it past it.
What's the old saying? Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
My first question, Reese, is what is a fascist?
It's usually anything the left is doing.
I will guarantee you, Reese, if you ask all these people that are saying fascist and you ask them what is a fascist, 99% or more will not be able to answer the question.
Also, it's because they don't, you know, they'll never be asked to, because they'll never communicate with someone who would want to know. They would be around people who would just repeat it. They wouldn't even sit around at a dinner table and go, hey, do you ever wonder if we know what the word fascism means? They never would. But they don't self-check anyway.
Right. Now, so. I'm the kind of person, I love my country. I really do. And I believe in the First Amendment. I believe in the Constitution and what it affords us. And I'm a fascist. Please. Just because I believe what our forefathers gave us.
But, Ralph, you don't have to. Listen, let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about what they think of you. Everything that they think is irrelevant, and that's why we have to treat it as such. But we do have to understand, because they are irrelevant, that they will then behave like petulant children. We just have to watch them. We don't have to listen. We just have to watch them. That's all you need to do. Thank you, boss man. Let me go to Tim in Broadbrook. How are you, sir?
I am wonderful. How are you doing? It's good to hear you on the radio. It's good to be on the radio to talk about what a moron Chris Murphy is. How about Duck Blew Them All? There's another one. He's kind of under the radar right now. He's trying not to get any shrapnel from his stupidity.
You know what?
Combine the two of them. They've done nothing, absolutely nothing for the state of Connecticut. They're up there playing politics, telling us not to play politics. And in the meantime, you know, we have real politicians. You know who I'm really disappointed in? Bob Stefanowski. He's like the Bernie Madoff or he took the payoff because he was so close the last time. He could have beat Lamont. Instead, he took the payoff. They probably gave him a house or something. He just dropped his guard in the end.
What? Let me ask you this. Do you think Stefanowski will run again? I doubt it, because we got Fazio and we got Stewart who are running now.
the Republican Party isn't supporting him, so it's got to be the Democrats who are supporting him, and they're only supporting him because they know in the end he'll turn tail and run.
I don't know if they
got dirt on him or something. Who knows? Dropped the ball in the last 3 months
of the campaign. I gave him hell. He was on the program. I gave him hell. Because, you know, that whole thing about, you know, that little tax break, which I thought was just pennies on the dollar, it just didn't, for me, it just didn't work for me. And people still forget when they say, it was like, oh, you only stick up for your side. I'm like, Stefanowski was on my program because I was giving him hell. So, you're right, in the sense of, I don't think he put a lot of effort in that last couple of months. And even with that, I'll tell you this, Tim, which baffled me. We're talking about an election that was decided by 174,000. And a lot of people look at that and say, well, that's a wide margin. I'm like, no, it isn't. Not in Connecticut. You'd be surprised at the gap.
You know the elections in Connecticut aren't fair. I don't care what they say. they stuffed the ballot boxes in every one of these cities. They caught them in Bridgeport because Bridgeport just doesn't care. They go, yeah.
Such a great point.
You know, the quiet part out loud, it's not even the quiet part out loud. They just do it right in your face.
And they've been doing it
for so many years.
Tim, you make a great point because think about this, right? Without the Wanda Pataki scandal in the mayoral race, how do you look at that and see it in a vacuum? Like, how do you look at that and say, well, if they were doing this right in front of everybody's eyes for the mayor's race, who's to say they weren't doing it for the state campaign?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
This wasn't a one-off.
Ken Nelson. We need Ken Nelson, who's the mayor of Enfield, the guy who cares about the people of Enfield. We need him as the governor. Yeah. I mean, you can't say enough. That guy, when you got a problem, you call him up. He's right there on the spot. He didn't even get paid, and he's there anyway, in his spare time, which he has none because he's the mayor of Enfield. but I mean, he's all over it. Like, if I have a friend or something that has a problem with a building permit, I call him. He calls the building department. Boom, right away, it's all done. Remember when we used to have politicians, Ann Ucello in Hartford? I don't know if you were around then, but
Ann Ucello
was one of those. George Asenson in Hartford was one of those people that if you called him and you had a problem, he straightened it out. He didn't delegate the responsibility to somebody else. He took care of it. And that's what we need. We need more.
Do you think at that time it was a lot more small ball than it is today because there's just way too many? Yeah. I think the biggest problem we have is that we have too much. People keep saying that elected officials cater too much to big money. That may be true, but I think today they cater too much to the activist class. That's what I think the problem is.
They're looking into the free agency market.
Yeah.
What would I be worth? Name, image, and likeness. What am I worth somewhere down the road in a contract?
Yeah.
Mattress.
It's okay. I think that people just get comfortable with talking to Reese on the radio. They just think they're just shooting the breeze. They'll throw in a little S word in there. It's okay. My apologies. Before we go to break, this is, I got 3 minutes, less than that. So a lot of people think that everything that we do is politics, right? Like, why is it always politics all the time? It isn't. Why does it feel like it's always politics? There's a reason. It's because people can't stay away from it because everything else is boring. And politics are really hot. Politics has conflict. And people need conflict in their lives. Not everybody, but people do. And politics is just that place to go. It's a blood sport. It also involves right and wrong and knowledge. Intelligence. Some people live off the I'm smarter than you or I'm just as smart as you. What do you think? I'm stupid? Which, of course, breeds the conflict. That's where we are. There's also the folks that want to know and be informed. And if you're not informed, you feel like you're out of the loop. And then when you talk to people who are outside of the loop, you look at them and you go, where have you been? Under a rock? How are you not paying attention to this? It's what's hot. But the worst part is that politics started bleeding over into everyday life. Everything became politics. The music you listen to became politics. Don't believe me? Check out your usual conversations about country music and you'll know. Even country music awards became a part of what? Politics. You might remember a couple of years back when Carrie Underwood was hosting the CMAs and her and I think Brad Paisley did their opening monologue poking fun at the Obama administration. It didn't have to be about politics, but it was. Because again, people think that everything has sort of been politicized. Because some people have. There's always an angle. Sports has become politicized. Thanks, Colin. We'll take a break. More news, more views. Don't forget, we got Wendy in Newtown calling up. She's got a very harrowing story about her encounter with the Newtown Allies for Change that happened about 3 years ago. We'll get to that as well. Plus, we'll get to your phone calls as well at 860-522-WTIC. So stand by. It's Reese on the Radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
It's Reese on the Radio on News Talk 1080 WTIC.
All right, and stand by in a little bit. We'll talk about my video on Governor Lamont and his response to Jimmy Kimmel not being on WTNH. I've got that for you coming up real soon, so stand by for that. It is an interesting video that, oddly enough, no one seemed to notice that there's a degree of doublespeak from Governor Oakley Doakley. And I'll play that for you in a little bit. Let's get to the phone. Scott is in Glastonbury. How are you, Scott?
Good. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, sir. What's up?
Just had a tidbit about, I don't know if you saw anything about the ostrich farm in Canada and how they actually took COVID and cured it through ostriches. And now they're trying to kill them all. You got to look that up and check that out.
Oh, my God. No, I did.
It's pretty fascinating.
The audience makes so many demands on keeping it local. I really try not to do a lot of international news. I didn't know that. Okay, so it's Oxford and ostriches.
It's ostriches, and it's in Canada, and they actually infected them with COVID, and they made natural antibodies for COVID so you can get rid of big pharma. It's a huge story.
Okay, I will definitely check it out. Thank you, Scott.
Check it out. So, hey, have a great day. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated. Let's get Gio in Canton. I've got time for him. What's up, Gio?
Hey, Reese. I wanted to talk about the Jimmy Kimmel debacle. I feel like it's very overplayed, especially I would argue that, what's his name? Ryan Kilmeade had an interesting moment on air, and Jesse Waters recently had a pretty interesting moment on air, which has not been out in the public. I haven't.
You're talking about Kilmeade and homeless people and Waters on the UN.
Yeah. I'm glad you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Come on, man. It's my job to know. Gio, it's my job to know. I know exactly what was said. I know what everybody is buzzing about. And there's a reason why I never bring, like, I bring attention to the ones that matter, that are important. But the other ones, I know about them because I have to make sure that I'm abreast to them. But I'll give you a perfect example of what this Jimmy Kimmel thing is exposing about a lot of people. And that is this. It is never about successful messaging. It is always about the message. And for Kilmeade and Jesse Waters, these guys have millions of viewers. Kimmel does not, but his message is important. And the fact that he was being pulled off the air, they needed a scapegoat. And no one would even suggest that Kimmel is profitable for ABC. And he isn't. He's absolutely not. He's not doing any good numbers that matter anywhere. In fact, his suspension got him more viewers than he's ever gotten in his entire career on late night. And guess what? Yeah. He's gonna fall right off exactly as he was. And when the point comes when they go, hey, can we keep him? ABC will be forced to go no, or they will be forced to lose money because of him.
But my argument would be the FCC overstepping and the government.
Overstepping,
use of the FCC.
Okay. overstepping by saying something publicly or overstepping by sending a letter to Sinclair, sending a letter to Nexstar, and telling them, you better do this or else?
Yeah, that's the overstepping part.
Yeah, they didn't do that. They didn't do the latter. Hold on. They didn't. But, Gio, they didn't do the latter. The second thing was made up. They didn't do that. He publicly said, Brandon Carr said, that in other shoes will drop. Never sent the letter. Never threatened him with it. This was Nexstar and Sinclair's decision. And if you go by the governor today or yesterday, what did he say to WFSB? He said, I want WTNH to put him back on the air, which again means Trump had no power in the first place, which is again what they realized after the fact. But thank you, Gio. I appreciate you. He never had any power. Never. Let's get another check, or our first check of weather and traffic for the show. I think Scott Homan is being held hostage in a basement somewhere. Somebody pay that ransom. He's in for Bob Larson and Mark Christopher's in the BPS Traffic Center.